Beautiful, beautiful food to match, I think, an extraordinary morning. I think everyone is still resonating and can't wait to dive back in with Alice's leadership this morning. Christine reminds me that today, or this, we are at Rosh Hashanah, and of course, today is the first day of autumn, so no wonder it's a feast day. And thanks to Yellow's intuition, we're celebrating it in style. Next week, we have another great treat in store. Reverend Gary Hall, the interim at Trinity, will be with us, and his subject will be Emptiness and the Law of Three. I don't know how many of you have met or heard Gary Hall, but he is a tremendous addition, though perhaps only temporary, to our community. So be sure to be here. Catch him next week. He's remarkable. Well, he's retired now. Where was he before?
Any?
Thanks, Terry. All Saints Pasadena. Yeah. So he's very remarkable. So next week, I believe it is the Blues' turn to bring our snacks. They have a bit of an act to follow, but they always bring something wonderful. So it is my pleasure now then to turn this around to you all so that you can bring up your questions and comments, and I will turn the morning back to the wonderful Alice.
Okay. Thank you, Pat. Just before we have comments, I think I'm going to look and see. Oh, there are a couple. Here's this, you know, this idea of the dance just being, it's displayed everywhere. Everything is always in motion, okay? So it's a constant dance, and I love the galaxies that are, the pictures of the galaxies that kind of show that dance. And, oh, I pulled this picture out when I wrote in the beginning was the dance, because Teilhard wanted to bring God and the world together. He struggled because the spirituality of his day said that he had this desire for the priesthood, but you had to forsake the world and leave the world behind and go to, you know, religious life. But he was a scientist, and he was really a nature mystic. He grew up in nature, and so it was very hard for him, and he was always looking for something solid in the material world. He wanted to find what he called the absolute in the material world. And so when he was a little boy, I think when he was 5 years old, he was sitting on his mother's lap, and she was cutting his hair, and some of his hair fell into the fire and burnt up. And that's at five, mind you. He realized he was perishable, that, you know, he wasn't permanent. So he went looking for something in nature that was permanent. So he started gathering all these pieces of metal, bolts and nuts and lock pins from around his property. And they became what he called his gods of iron, because there wasn't anything, you know, more solid than this. And then he had left them outside, and it rained, and they all rusted. And he said he threw himself onto the grass and shed the bitterest tears of his life, you know, 6 years old. And so then he went out looking for something more solid than the iron, and he stubbed his toe on a rock. And he said, I picked it up and I loved it. And so he kind of then got into the science of rocks and fossils and paleontology. So he was always looking for something solid in matter and that was absolute. And his mystical experience was in a burned out church in the First World War, when he was sitting and there was a picture of the Sacred Heart. And he was meditating on it. And the heart of Jesus just became alive. It became inflamed, blazed. And he realized that where God meets the world is in the heart. in our hearts in the love we have. That's solid. It's forever. And so this heart, you know, when I was talking about the dance and the kind of passion, the passion and the desire, when you see another and you want that other, and you don't just want it, you want to possess it, you want to get inside it, you want to know what it's like, what makes it tick. And this is what lovemaking is. You have to be inside the other. It's fiery, it's erotic, and this is why I couldn't handle the Father, Son, Holy Spirit model that we have. All of that seems to be taken out of it. And so the original dance was fiery. There's even, I don't know where I got this, there are even hands in here reaching up, you know. So it's all about love. We're all looking for that kind of love. And the only other picture, I think, this was a picture that Barbara Marx Hubbard created of evolution. And it was through reading Teilhard. The way Teilhard brought God and the world together was through evolution, discovering that the story that we have been living in is much larger than the one that we were brought up in, and much larger than our religious stories. And so for him, it created a lot of questions about faith. What does our faith mean? What does creation, incarnation, and redemption mean in a 13 billion year universe? And so I love this drawing that she did, because it starts with the divine dance, the Big Bang. You know, it's a vulgar expression in some ways, but I mean, if you think about it, and it started there, and it's powerful. And the power of it in gathering together is an unbroken chain. And she has what she calls universal intelligence. I'll call it the spirit or love. That, and this was Teilhard's understanding, that there's a pattern, creation, destruction, recreation, life, death, resurrection. There's a pattern. And anytime there's chaos, there's also order, always bringing the chaos into harmony that runs through the whole creative process. This is the dance. This is the dance. And so here we're just gathering together from the atom all the way up to where we are today. And then universal humanity is the continuation of it. And so it's an unbroken chain, and we participate in this dance. And when this dance came into Jesus' consciousness, we are the Christ. We are the Christ in the world today. Each one of us is members of the body of Christ. And so it continues in our lives in time. And I think when we awaken to this dance inside ourselves, and we begin to find that wholeness in ourselves, then we become what Elizabeth Sartoris calls the imaginal cells. In the life of a butterfly, the caterpillar, after the caterpillar gets to a certain stage and can't exist anymore, it starts to break down. So it's the point of chaos. And these, what they call imaginal discs, begin to appear that have the pattern of the butterfly. So sort of the escape route. But initially, the caterpillar's immune system recognizes it as foreign and tries to kill it off. But the pattern of the freedom that is facing becomes so great that they connect at greater speeds and eventually take over. And then the butterfly is formed. So when we reach this level of consciousness that Jesus had, of this dance of the masculine and feminine inside ourselves, then we become imaginal cells. And we then, enhance our own immune system of the body and we can begin to heal our world. And so something like that is also happening. So those, I think, are the only pictures. So I'm happy to be in conversation about this, just to hear other people's points of view or experience of it, or questions, what resonates and what doesn't resonate. So, you know, share your own experience with me and let me know where you're coming from.
When you were speaking about you and your husband, I resonated with that because, and I was thinking, my wife and I, we've been married for 58 years. And we ran away to get married from Ireland. We had no money there. We had no money here either. Yeah. But over the course of the first half of the marriage, and I didn't notice that until you were talking about it, but I was the strong person. I was the the strident one. And then my health started to fail. And we reversed roles. And now she's the strong one. She can't understand why I'm not strident anymore. Why I'm more, I want to deal with everything from a loving perspective. But it was a slow transition, but it can be done. And when it is done, when you reverse roles, and the other one becomes the compassionate one, and the accepting, and the understanding, and the giving, it goes on with great power. The marriage does, instead of trying to maintain that position. I gave up on it. With chagrin in the beginning, but as time went on, I began to realize that to deal with anything of a negative nature in the family dynamic, with love and kindness and giving and understanding and acceptance, was much more successful. And it comes from that transition from being the big heavy-duty leader to being
the receiver. Or the.
In other words, yeah, to be the participant, to be part of.
Good. Thank you for sharing that.
I've shared this with a number of you before, but a couple years ago when we did Richard Rohr's last book, Eager to Love, and Dawn made the presentation on the integration of the masculine and the feminine. And so afterwards I was talking about it with some friends, and I said, well, we're kind of immersed in this right now with all the talk of same-sex marriage and transgender issues and so forth. And while I was talking, all of a sudden I thought, wow, what if that line in Scripture means exactly what it says? Male and female, God created them. Not some male, some female. All of them. Mm-hmm. And since the line before that, I think it's Genesis 1:26, the line before that is, and God created humanity in God's own image. And so God is not male or female. God is male and female or whatever. Mm-hmm. So that's not from me. That's just from, struck me.
Perfect. I think that confirms a lot of what I'm saying. Yes. Yeah. Thank you.
Lately, my head has been filled with what you might call aphorisms, little short things. And the one that came to me while I was sitting here was having to do with the dance. If you can find no immediate partner, dance with your shadow and learn to love yourself.
Exactly. That's so great. What wisdom. Yeah, thank you. Yes, thank you. Hi, Tony.
Thank you for this. Would you address the rise of the feminine in Mother Nature right now?
Well, to me it's the rise of compassion, the compassion that's able to hold everything. To me, it's the alternative to the rise of compassion is able to wait and to hold. That appears to be a very weak power, because especially when you're talking in the world or politics, let's get this done. The use of force usually is a quick answer, and it can temporarily get you what you want, but in the long run, and that's what I think the feminine sees. In the long run, it's not going to get us where we're going. I think part of the rise of the feminine in the fight for women's reproductive rights is that women intuitively know at a deep level that we're not going to move forward into the next level by just producing more humans. We're not going... In fact, that series that just won the... best TV series, what was it? Handmaid's Tale. It's exactly that. It's a future America. There's not enough births, and women aren't being used to reproduce more humans. And so I think the resistance to that is because what's coming now is a spiritual... what's coming now is a move towards a spiritual birth, and so it's a higher level of consciousness. So it's more spiritual than it is physical. Our physical bodies are going to change, and there's a resistance to that. And so I think the feminine rising is about something like that.
I was specifically addressing the hurricanes, Mother Nature.
Well, okay.
And the dark side of the feminine and how it's really lets its voice known,
I think,
it is right now.
I think what we're seeing is exactly that. It's, I don't think of it along the lines of the dark side of the feminine as much as the violence that we're seeing in nature right now. And the extremes are a mirror to the extremes in the human community. And that's why I say we have to watch our words. And this whole thing of disconnection and dividing us up into this polarism and the old way, black and white, some are right, some are wrong, some deserve it, some don't. Let's get rid of the ones that, you know, this whole polarization, it's manifesting in nature. Nature is, we're doing it to nature. Nature isn't doing it to us. Nature is manifesting. Look at what you're doing to me. If you go in your house and you find that peace, if we would all become a more nonviolent and a more peaceful humanity, that's what that one quote, you would see it. I always say, can we make a difference? We can make a difference by becoming more nonviolent. And then I think that'll be reflected, because the world out there isn't out there. It's in here. And so if we become more nonviolent in here, we're going to see it manifested out here. In fact, the whole body, that wholeness, we'll also see less disease. We'll also be more healthy and whole within our own immune system. Will get catalyzed. And so I don't see it as Mother Nature doing something to us. I see it as the feminine manifesting what we're doing to the feminine. It's us. So I don't think it's being done upon us. I think it's manifesting. It's like, okay, here we are on the large stage.
It's like the natural outpouring of divine law.
Yeah. I mean, who do we want to be? This is what I think we're seeing up there as human beings. We're being given choices. I think the, you know, and I want to be as loving and kind towards Donald Trump as I would be to any president, but we're seeing, like I said to Bob, you know, I don't need to know Ken Wilber's stages and states of development to know we put a 12-year-old in the White House, and he's playing war with the other 12-year-old across the world, and these are war games of little boys. And we're trying to move into our collective responsibility as a humanity, and we need a model for that, and this is not a model for that. And what do we do about it? I do not know, but we have to, we can't respond in kind. Mm-hmm. Or so up on the screen is not what does it mean to be American? Does this represent the best of America? But does this represent the best of humanity? Is this what it means to be human? Because to be human is to be divine. And so we're being shown, and this is why we can no longer be complacent. There has to be an action that comes. I don't know, but I don't think we'll know what action until we all get quiet enough to sit in that presence and allow that dance to manifest something new. Something new has to rise up. And I think this is compassion is rising up. That's what I see. And, you know, the bittersweet to that is you don't see the rise of compassion without suffering. I mean, who would need compassion if there wasn't suffering? And so this is what we're experiencing now. And they're not in balance. The suffering is becoming overwhelming, what we're doing. And we're doing it, you know. I mean, I think that's what's trying to be seen is what Richard was talking about, the disease of disconnection. We think the world is out there, that's all happening out there. No, yes, but it's also happening in here. You know, you get in touch with what's going on. Get in touch with your own closest personal relationships that you care the most about in your heart. And the unforgiveness there, the darkness of your own heart that manifests in times, and work and deal with that in the silence, and you begin to become a more peaceful person. The world around you, you'll know how to respond. If we become more peaceful persons, we will know how to respond. Something like that is in my thinking.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you. What time is it? Because, okay, let's just do this now at the end. I wrote this in the women's, when I wrote my reflection on the women's march about the feminine. The feminine knows when it's time to give birth, when the growing and nurturing have reached its fullness and the longing to manifest is at hand. You will know when it's time to bring to birth the new creation. The signs will be all around you, urging, insisting, now is the time. You have to know just when to bear down and concentrate on one thing only. It takes labor, hard, hard labor, to bring to birth something new. I think women today, and this is what I think the Women's March was all about, have the task and the role to connect with their womb energy. The word for compassion and the word for womb have the same root. We were all birthed from wombs. So men have womb energy. They have the energy that dances with all possibility and all potential. And women have it too, but to me it's innate in women, and so it's going to be the task of women, the feminine, to help creation move forward at this time. And that's what I think we're feeling the rise of, but we can't pull it together or articulate it. So that's what I think is happening, something like that. So, you know, what I want to do at the end here is I want to play Ginny's video again. I want you to untie your little red scarves, and I want you to stand up and give yourself room. And I want you to dance with... Yep, just go wherever you want, move however you want. No, the men have to dance, and the women, everybody, and you have to do your own unique dance, okay? I need to get one for myself. Oh, you got two, okay. All right, you can dance around the room. Oh, we are. And then we can do the hocus pocus.
And when you get the choice to sit it out or dance, I hope you dance. I hope you dance. I hope you never fear those mountains.
Gary, let's dance. Have a great day.
Thank you.
Yeah, take them with you and wrap something with them.